it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Right now, excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Talk to our friend Mr. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. Greenberg, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing super duper. How are you?
We're good, dude. I want to talk some caps. I might want to talk a little bit of baseball with you, but I want to start football-wise. You're a numbers guy. You're an analytics guy. You're an expert at seeing what the math tells us. Mm-hmm. When the Commanders were down 10-0 in L.A. early, what did the math tell us about their odds of coming back, and how dire did that thing look?
It looked so dire, I almost tweeted about it. I was crafting a tweet about how, you know, I thought that they would regress. I didn't think they would regress this much. I know Jaden's just coming off an injury, et cetera, but there's some problems. But I was like, you know what? Let's hold on a second. Let's just wait and see what happens. There'll be plenty of time to send that tweet. And I'm glad I didn't, because Jaden Daniels apparently switched his cleats and then scored 27 unanswered points. So he put his work shoes on and things got started. I thought it was a great win for Washington. It showed that they're not only resilient, but that Jaden Daniels is healthy. You know, they got Luke McCaffrey involved. I know a lot of people have been waiting for him to be active. Deebo Samuel, he's not the most valuable player on the offense, but what a pickup he's been. And then, you know, Bill, just lunch pail guy, just going to work. Just a huge win, just a really solid second half, adjustments, the whole thing, to walk away with a win there.
Neil, I'm going to ask you this. Like, when I'm watching football games, and I just think this way, when I'm looking at a game and somebody is up 10-0, okay, my whole mindset, if somebody just scores a touchdown, they're back in this game. Because 10-7 is quickly different. And they came back and they scored a touchdown, 10-7. And it changes the whole ball game, because 10-0 seems, oh, boy, it's going to be trouble. One touchdown changes the whole mindset of that game. When you look at the scoring aspect, does that touchdown being scored, like, give the chance to the team that's trailing any better, give them any better chance than if they score a field goal?
Well, it depends on two big things in terms of the win probability models. One is, what was the spread of the game before kickoff? Because that's going to give you a general sense of the strength difference between the two teams, and then also how much time is left, right? Like, if there's a lot of time left, it's gonna influence the win probability different than the other one, than if there's not a lot of time left. But you're absolutely right. I mean, football scores in bunches. So I would even say, like, you know, 14-0, you score a touchdown, it's 14-7, that's a one possession game. You know, optically, 14-0 is not dire, but it doesn't look great. But then, like you said, you score one, and then things look a lot more manageable. My biggest thing was Jaden Daniels healthy? Like, you know, he's coming back after an injury. You know, he's got to play well. He doesn't have everything he needs on the offense because of other injuries, et cetera. So that was the only reason why I was a little bit nervous, but man, I mean, he's the real deal, right? I mean, like, there's really no other adjectives to describe how he's played since he's entered the league. I mean, he's the real deal, and Washington always has a chance to win if he's on the field.
Totally. And I thought, you know, Mariota was really good when he was out there, but Jaden's just a different guy. It seemed like it took a minute to maybe kind of get his feet, you know, set and kind of get back to business. But once he did, he was fantastic. And I think it was like a good reminder of what Jaden means to this team, to see them come all the way back. The deep throw to Luke, the touchdown throw to Debo, like those are elite, elite throws. You know what I mean? And there's, I don't know, four, five, six guys in the league that can make them.
Hey, and we got to give some credit to the defense as well. I mean, they pressured Herbert, 12 times. They forced him into some short, ineffective throws. Once they adjusted after the first quarter, I mean, the Chargers offense stalled completely. So it was a good game for the defense as well. This is the team that we thought we'd see, right? I mean, they don't have Terry McLaurin. But this is the type of team we thought we would see, a very, very explosive offense with a solid defense that, as long as the defense doesn't lose you games, I think that the Commanders are going to be just fine this season.
Mm. What did you think defensively? Obviously, the Atlanta game and the Green Bay game were disasters, but a lot of that, to me, is because they weren't able to generate pressure. They did pressure Herbert. That Chargers O-line was a mess. What did you think defensively? Like, was that a glimpse into their path to win games? Is, stop the run, you're going to give up some plays, but you make enough and you generate some turnovers? Like, that's what they did last year.
That's exactly it. I mean, if you pressure the quarterback, good things will happen. I mean, especially now. Especially when you're going up against these non-dual threats like Jaden Daniels is. I mean, if you can pressure the quarterback and knock, and let's face it, you don't have to knock him off his rhythm the entire game, but you get one, two, three key plays, then that makes a difference, right? I mean, look at how much parity is in the NFL. I know we've seen a lot of lopsided scores this year, but generally speaking, it's a pretty tight, difference in team strength for the majority of teams, right? We're going to see one possession games, maybe, 7, 8, 10 points or so. So you get one stop, you get one interception, you get one big play, you get 10 drives a game, 11 drives a game. I mean, those two, three plays are a pretty big chunk of what the opposing offense is doing. It really does make a difference. You don't need the 85 Bears out there. You just need a solid defensive play that makes critical stops at key moments.
I wanted to ask you this. I watched in the game the other night, the Jacksonville Jaguars against Kansas City Chiefs, and the kicker kicks the ball out of bounds. They get it on the 40-yard line. Have you done something where the percentages of scoring from the 35, the 20, 40?
Yeah, I mean, we have those type of we have that data available. We have it even more granular, right? Like we can tell you how often a team scores first and 10 from the 40, how often they score second. That's where the whole expected points added metric comes from. Like, how many points are you expected to get from this down distance and field position, and then how many do you get, and that gives us an idea of how much value that particular play had, and then that's trickled down to the different types of players. We have that. We do have that data.
Before we switch to the Caps, how vital was that win for Washington to get to 3-2, and where does that put them, like, on a playoff track? I feel like there's a huge difference between 2-3 and 3-2.
Huge difference. And I think they're still a solid playoff team. I still think they're a top 10 team. I have them 10th. A loss probably would have dropped them into the middle of the pack there, but as Washington gets healthier, I think that they start to rise in the rankings. They're a solid playoff team, I think, in my opinion, just based on what we've seen so far. And if Jaden's healthy, as he gets healthier and as we start to see, other players start to return, I absolutely think that this is a team that should be – we should be talking about them in the playoffs, right? I think that they will make the playoffs, but then it becomes, we talk about them, what we can expect in the playoffs, and maybe it's not another NFC conference championship run. But what we have seen this year is that everybody is beatable, right? And they're beatable in ways that we really aren't thinking about. This, to me, is one of the toughest years to predict in the NFL because there's a lot more parity in the middle, and even the really good teams are vulnerable. So, you know, a 4-1 team optically on paper looks really good, but there's not much difference between them, I don't think, than, you know, a 3-1 team or even a, you know, a 3-2 team. So I think that Washington's in pretty good shape right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Big game coming Monday night against the Bears. What do you make of Chicago 2-2, already had a bye, you know what I mean, like through four games? What do you think of this Bears team?
Well, Ben Johnson does well after the bye. His Lions, when he was offensive coordinator, scored 41 and 47 points in the games after the bye the past 2 years. You know, that's some big numbers. That means that at the very least, he has seen what it takes to prepare after the bye, if you don't want to give him all the credit, which is certainly understandable. The Bears get healthier on defense, right? Kyler Gordon returns. Linebacker TJ Edwards is close to returning. You know, they have to cut down the offensive penalties. I think that's been a big problem for them, you know, tighten up pass protection. But we should see a little bit of a different Bears team than we've seen because, as I said, Ben Johnson has been a part of a winning formula after the bye week over the past couple seasons.
Okay, that's interesting to keep in mind.
Right.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, Rude makes the best HVAC equipment in the DMV, and Greenberg is the best sports. He's legitimately B-Mitch's favorite analytics person on the planet. So
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can take that to the bank. You can follow him at N Greenberg.
He's the only one I like.
no more undefeated teams left, Greenberg. Who's your best team in football?
Oh, gosh. I have the Lions number one. I have Lions 1, Green Bay 2, and then, surprisingly enough, Kansas City 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you moved Philly way down, huh?
Yeah, Philly 4, Buffalo 5. That's my top five.
What troubles you about Philly and also Buffalo dropping that far?
It's not – well, here's where, like, my rating – my rankings and my ratings are, like, two different things, right? Like, the gap between number one and number five in my ratings is not large. Like, to the point where if you said to me you want to reshuffle all those five teams into a different order, it'd be hard for me to argue. You know, I just think Philadelphia showed that they can be beat. Buffalo certainly showed that they can be beat. You know, you almost have to play flawless football. I mean, even if you're one of the top contending teams, I mean, there are teams that are lower on the rankings chart that can take advantage. I mean, I think people forget that the NFL, you know, even the difference, I think maybe we're used to college, right? Like the difference between the really good teams and the really bad teams are like 30 points. But in the NFL, it's like one or two possessions, right? It's just such a different thing. And, you know, if you're like Buffalo, you know, continually taking penalties and shooting yourself in the foot and stalling your own drives, et cetera, I mean, sure, you're going to lose. So, you know, something like that is definitely going to knock them down a few spots.
All right, let's switch over to the Caps. Season opener tonight against the Bruins. I think the Caps organization has done an incredible job of threading the needle of getting younger and kind of fast-tracking. I don't know if it's a rebuild, but they had to get younger. They had to get faster. I think they've done a good job of that while allowing Ovi to now get the goals record. You know, this time last year, there was so much talk about Ovi's pursuit of Gretzky. That's done. That's in the bank now. It's kind of just about what are they as a hockey team now, and so I ask you, what are they as a hockey team? Mm.
They're a good hockey team with a superstar that is in a tough spot. And I say he's in a tough spot because the question now isn't, is he going to break the record? The question now is this the last year we're going to see Ovechkin on NHL ice? And, you know, if the Capitals come out soft or if Ovechkin comes out soft, like, that type of chatter is only going to magnify. And that's going to be the storyline throughout the whole season, no matter what, how good or ungood the Capitals are. I think, like, I agree with you in that the organization has done a good job getting younger. You know, they got Sandin and Protas and Connor McMichael and Ryan Leonard. I mean, they got a lot of younger guys that can do some stuff. They have a lot of good veterans, right? Obviously Ovechkin, John Carlson, Tom Wilson. So they have a good mix. It's going to be interesting to see, though. I just want to see how long Ovechkin can keep doing it. Like, he's 40 years old. I was hurting when I was 40, and I wasn't even, you know, one-tenth in the athletic type of situation that he's in. 44 goals last year. I think that's really the storyline. If Washington as a team does really well, that's great. If they don't, just really savor every time Ovechkin's on the ice, because we really don't know if it's going to be his last shift or not.
Understanding Ovechkin is older now, and he made just a little song, the country song, I always bring it up. I could be as good once as I ever was, something like that. He might be that every once in a while in a season. Is there enough on this team for this team to win and do anything without him being magical every once in a while?
I think there's enough. I mean, we saw that last year where the organization certainly was able to get a lot out of what we didn't think was going to be much. So they have that going for them, winning 51 games last year. I know a lot of people didn't think that they would do that well, myself included. So, yes, I definitely think there's room for them to be, part of the playoff picture and part of a team that could make a run once you get in there, because that's the way hockey is set up. It's really just going to come down to health. I mean, you know, it's tough when your best player is 40 and you need him on the ice. I'm not breaking ground here that Washington gets a lot worse if Ovechkin can't play or isn't a 30, 40 goal scorer. So it's really just a matter of that. But yes, if everything is, if health is good, I do think Washington at the very least is a fringe contender for the Cup.
Gosh, that'd be awesome. we had Ryan Leonard on the show yesterday, and he was a super nice young man. You think he could take a real big step forward this year?
I do. I trust Washington to do their thing when it comes to the young guys. He's a winger. He's got some really good wings that he can learn from on the team. Played a couple games last year. I think that he's definitely a guy that can take a step forward. He's a Boston College guy, first round pick back in, 2023. I think that those are the type of guys that they need to get stuff going. Because let's face it, I mean, that's the future's coming, right? Like, the future of Washington is coming. It might already be here. Ovechkin certainly earned the right to play for as long as he wants to. They're going to need Ryan Leonard to step up, and I think there's going to be a lot of focus on his development, especially.
You going to go to the game tonight?
I cannot go to the game tonight, but I do plan on making sure I get a lot of time in the seats to see what's happening.
Cool. Greenberg, we appreciate
your
time.
I'll see you there.
All right. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, man.
All right, man. Thanks. That's our boy, Neil Greenberg. When we come back,
I'll be sporting number 30, Mitchell jersey.
I've seen you wear it. And then you're like, man, everybody's coming up to me for pictures. Well,
nah, my back was to the wall.
You are wearing a B Mitch jersey.
My back was to the wall. So I don't know.
I don't think this should be a thing, but I do think for lots of people it's a thing. I'll ask Jeff Walker and I'll ask you on the phones, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Do you get worried? Do you care when the Commanders play in primetime? They've only had one primetime game so far this year, and it was ugly. There were some good ones last year, though. Let's have a primetime conversation when we return, and we ain't talking Deion.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is finally here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download the FanDuel app today and get started. FanDuel, sponsored with the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.